So I ask you the question is, are you a light? Are you the light that you're supposed to be? Have you asked for God to lead you to some soul today? Have you thought about everyone that you haven't mentioned Him to? Have you thought about the light that you were supposed to be? So we're supposed to be a light that lights up the room. We're supposed to spread that light around with all those we come in contact with. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You said we should be the light and the salt of the world. We should be the light that everyone wants to be able to be around so they can see. Nobody likes walking in the dark when it's pitch black night. When you're walking in a cave, nobody wants to be there because you don't know what you're going to run into. You don't know what's out there. You don't know what's going to jump out and scare you, what's hiding behind that corner, what's hiding behind that bush. You want to have a little light on you. You want to have a little light on you at all times. That's why I carry this little flashlight around so I can have some light when I ain't ready to be in the dark. So I carry that light. You're saying in the world, I'm supposed to be the light of the world. I'm supposed to be the salt that seasons. I'm supposed to have a little flavor. I'm supposed to be in such a way that people want to know, what are you seasoned with? Last night I had so many people ask me, what was on that pork? Man, that tasted good. What was on that? Because they want to know what it was seasoned with. Because they liked the way it tasted. When we are in the world, are we walking around in such a way that says, what are you seasoned with? What is it that carries you and makes you the way you are? Because I want to have a taste of that. Because I want to know how I can be like that too. I want to know how I can have that light that you are. See, if we live the way that we are supposed to live, people are going to be intrigued by us because we represent God, because we walk as Christ walks, if we're who we're supposed to be. And when people begin to wonder and people begin to ask and people begin to say, you know, what is it about you? We got to be ready. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Be ready. Be ready to give a defense. Be ready to give an answer when people ask you, because you are going to be what you're supposed to be. You're going to be that salt. You're going to be that light, and people are going to want to know what's going on, so you got to be ready. You got to be ready to give a defense. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you be watchful. Be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Preach the word, Timothy. You see, because the world that you live in, there's going to come a time when people would rather have their ears tickled and be warm and fuzzy about the way that they're living their life than they would rather hear the truth. And I don't know what world you're living in, but the world I live in today, this is right here and this is right now. They'd rather have their back patted and tell them they're going to be all right than have the truth told to them and let the truth speak to them and have the truth set them free. They want to be under bondage of saying, well, I guess I'll be all right. Well, do the work of evangelists. Tell people. Be prepared to preach. Be prepared to teach, because there's going to be those people who come and they ask you about what's going on in your life. He said to Timothy there in the first part of, or in the about middle of there of verse 2, in season and out of season. When you ready and when you ain't ready. Last Wednesday night when I had to leave to go to work, we run all over the county. We ended up about 2 o'clock in the morning in Ardmore. And somebody had the bright idea that we went to this house, and he said, yeah, well, we got home from church and he said the lights was out. And so he said, I don't know how long it's been out, but, you know, we're glad you finally showed up. He said, yeah. He said, well, that preacher tonight, he was talking about, and I don't know where the guy goes to church, but he was talking about baptism and how we need to get baptized and this, that, and the other, and what the purpose of baptism was. He said, I just don't know if I believe all that. And I thought, well, this is not the right season for that. I'm 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. That now ain't a good time for me to be doing this. But I think that's a little bit what Paul was talking to Timothy about. You're going to have times where you don't really, when you aren't ready, when it's not going to be maybe the ideal time for you for this to happen, that's when it's going to happen. So you've got to be ready, Timothy. That goes on to us too. Because you're not always going to be standing there with your Bible and just ready, you know, boy, I really hope somebody shows up today because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to talk to somebody about God and about Jesus and about the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. I'm ready today. Let's get this going. Ain't nobody going to show up that day. I can just, the way my life goes, that ain't the day anybody's going to show up. It's going to be when I don't have a Bible, and thank goodness that I've got a smartphone now and I got the Bible on there and I can at least somewhat search my way around if I got to find something. But you never know when it's going to be. You never know when it's going to happen. But we need to be ready to fulfill the work of the ministry. We need to be ready because, as Jesus told us, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So who did we leave out and who did we leave out when we didn't mention? Who did he leave out? He didn't leave out anybody. He said, go and go to everybody. Go over all creation. And if you are a believer, if you call yourself a Christian, then this is your duty. This is your job. And I'll tell you, if you are the salt and you are the light that you are supposed to be, you don't have to go out searching for people because people are going to come to you and they're going to start asking questions about what's going on with you. Why do you act the way you act? I'm intrigued by that. You seem to know something about the Bible. Let me ask you a question. They put confidence in you to say you have the answers. And although you may not have the answers, they have trusted you to tell them, you know, I don't know the answer, but I will find the answer out for you. See, they've gone out on a limb. They feel vulnerable because they don't know. And they want to find out. So be who you ought to be, and I'll assure you that there will be those come to you who want to know about the gospel. And are you ready for those people to come? Are you ready for those people to ask you about those things? If you're not, you need to get equipped. And you need to get ready for those things. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, and I put all these together to get the whole idea here, where in the beginning of chapter 4, he's talking about the unity and how we need to be united. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all. And we talk about the unity of the church there, and then he goes about the unity and the giving of the gifts. And in verse 11, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, you know, everybody's kind of got all these different jobs. He said he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, but he gave them all these different things for one purpose. You know, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature that is the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every time that Brother Robert or I or anyone preaches a sermon, it is done to help equip you. It may be that you need to make a correction in your life, and it might be the fact that you need to fix something, or you might need to become a Christian, but all in all, every lesson has an application to it, and that's to help you help somebody else, if nothing else. every lesson that is done is something you can put in your belt and use when you go out and somebody asks you about this light, this salt. What is it about you and this gospel? What is it about this Bible that you talk about? All of these sermons, all of these teachings, everything that is done here is to help you get ready. It's to help equip you. He said the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the elders, the teachers, all these people have been given their own specific jobs and their own specific titles, their ways that they do it to do this, to accomplish this task, to equip you. And it's all of these people doing it in all these different ways that helps come together and do it and complete one thing, to complete the one work of the church, to equip you. And so I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear more and more sermons. And as I'm looking forward ahead, I'm thinking about more and more sermons that can be very applicable in equipping you for everybody that you meet and in this world. Maybe more and more things about the things that I run into, the questions I get asked as to why y'all do what y'all do. And talking about some of those things a little bit more. But the greatest thing about, I think, when I think about that equip and the equipment, I think about just a couple of chapters over when Paul is still continuing in his letter to Ephesus when he tells them to put on the whole armor of God. To put on all your equipment, so to speak. To totally and completely get ready. And he tells in Ephesians chapter 6 there in verse 11, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's why you put it on. That's why you get equipped to stand against the wiles of the devil in whatever way that might be and whatever tactic he may use to get ready, to put on that whole armor. And in verse 14, he begins to list the objects that are in that armor. And as you leave this building and you go out through the auditorium, up on the left side there, there's the armor of God. And I failed to look this morning and see if it's still there. I think it is. And there you go. You can look at it and see it visualized there on the bulletin board back there. But in verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I think a lot of times we talk about this whole armor of God, the entire armor of God that Paul writes about. And we think about, I think about it in a way of PPE. If you have any type of plant or outside manual labor job, and I mean, it rolls over into everything, but that's a lot of the time if you have a big safety conscientious job. They talk about PPE all the time, which is personal protection equipment. And for those of you who do not know, working at the electric department, that's a pretty big deal. You know, if I want to go home with all my fingers and toes, I need to make sure I wear all my PPE. You know, and different job applications may require a different degree of PPE. You know, I might be just walking around outside. I just, you know, steel-toed boots, hard hat, and some kind of something to keep stuff from getting in your eyes, some kind of eyewear, which is sunglasses. If any of y'all have ever seen me outside of an indoor building, I wear sunglasses all the time. So, you know, but then you might have to be called out to get into the nitty-gritty type of stuff and start grabbing stuff that actually is energized. Well, that's going to step it up a little bit. You know, I'm going to get in that bucket. I'm going to have a harness on. I'm going to make sure the bucket's isolated right. I'm going to have my hard hat on, my sunglasses. I'm going to have on these big honking rubber gloves that come down to about right here to keep me from feeling all that wonderful electricity that's running through that wire, because I don't want any part of it. You know, not on purpose. So I'm not going to go out there and grab onto that phase without putting on my gloves, am I? I'm not going to leave any part of that out. I'm not going to get up there and say, you know, I'm just not going to wear my harness today. You know, I'm going to give it a whirl, you know. I ain't going to wear those rubber gloves. I'm going to get up there and grab, I'll be out. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Well, there's a bunch of books written on the worst that can happen. See, I'm going to take it all with me, right? I'm going to take it all with me. It's all going to be in that bin with me so I can be sure I have on the right equipment at the right time. So when Paul writes about putting on the whole armor of God, and having every bit of that armor in there. I think a lot of times we think about the defensive action of the armor, about the shield and about the breastplate and about the helmet, stuff that's going to protect us from the attacks of Satan. But I don't know if you noticed there, one of the last thing that he mentioned, the very last thing that he mentioned was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, he tells us not only to wear all this stuff that helps protect us from Satan, but he says you need to have something to attack Satan with. That's the Word of God. That's your Bible. You need to know your Bible. Know thy weapon. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 talks about the Word of God is living and powerful and how it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to know our weapon. Know that we have put on that whole armor of God, that we're going to have the sword ready, that so that when we go out and we are the salt and we are the light and people ask us about what's going on with you, we've got that sword ready to be able to attack Satan and any of the false things and the tickled-eared sermons that those people may have heard, that we can bring them the truth. That's what the whole thing's about. That we can be always ready to share with them the Word of God. So if we get out and we don't have that sword of the Spirit, we don't have the knowledge of the Word of God, then what good is it to us? Can we really say that we put on the whole armor of God if we left out that right there? No, we can't. If we don't know our Bible, we can't say that we wear the whole armor of God. Excuse me. So, how can you get to know your weapon? Well, you could stay home and learn and read your Bible and study your Bible every day. That's how you get to know it. And that's true. You'll learn more at home reading the Bible, reading commentaries, studying the Scripture. You'll learn more at home than you'll ever learn in this building. I'll 100% agree with that. But and that's just simply based on the fact that on average we come to this building about 4 hours a week out of 168 hours available in a week. So you got 164 other hours to figure out what you're going to do about the Word of God and how you're going to figure it out. But I don't think that we should ever take for granted what can be done in these 4 hours. Every week. And we know the passage about Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. But you see, when you decide to skip church or not be here, you have given up an opportunity to help equip yourself from the teachers, from the evangelists, from the elders, for the battle that ensues every day. You have decided that I've got my sword sharp enough. You have decided that I've got on enough armor to handle it. You're missing an opportunity to be equipped and be prepared for the evangelism that you should be doing. If you're going to be the salt and you're going to be the light that you're supposed to be, you're missing out on getting equipped by not being here. Now, I will totally agree. There are exceptions to almost everything. And I've heard this one about not coming to church for a long time. And it's about my ox or my donkey. And if you don't know about my ox or my donkey, then you aren't familiar with Luke chapter 14. But in Luke chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus begins to perform a miracle upon the Sabbath day. The scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers, they're all, you know, what is he doing? Doing work on the Sabbath day. What is he doing? Doing this thing. He's not supposed to be working on the Sabbath. They kept silent, wondering all these things in their mind. And he took them and healed him and let him go. And then he answered to them, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit would not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. You see, Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. He had done work on the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And so when we talk about coming here to church, people talk about my ox fell into a pit. That's why I wouldn't hear. My ox fell into a pit. You know, this is what they're referring back to. You know, I think, well, you know, you had to do what you had to do, right? You had to get that ox out, so you need to get the ox out. And there are those emergency situations. People get sick. People are dependent upon you for care. You know, maybe I'm not sick myself. Maybe one of my children are, or maybe my parent is. We got to take care of them. If someone has died, or worse would be you dying. That would be why you would not be here. I think that would be understandable. You have a fire at the house. You have work obligations as opposed to work volunteering. That's two totally different things. There are emergency situations. But I think sometimes was your ox pushed into the ditch, or did you grab a halter around it and you pull it into the ditch so you'd have a reason to not be here? You know, what did you do to coerce that ox into the ditch? Was it something that you did as to why your ox ended up in a ditch as to why you weren't here? You know, is there something we could do to fix the problem as to why we weren't here, to get equipped, you know, to do what we're supposed to do? You know, one thing that I've got with my cows, as I've seen everyone in North Alabama do, and although some are better than others, they build fences. And that's something, you know, that's mind-boggling, you know, build a fence. So what can you do to prevent your ox from getting in a ditch so you can be here on the first day of the week? Have you done something to, you know, prevent this ox from getting in the ditch? What about if you could fill up the ditch so there wasn't a ditch there for him to fall into? Maybe you shouldn't whip that ox into the ditch or push him off into the ditch. Maybe we could do those things. And I think a lot of times we focalize, you know, I come, I'm here. I'm here at church when I'm supposed to be. I get here on time at 10:55, I'm here. But a lot, if you think back to what we've kind of looked at all along the way of what we're supposed to be doing, as being that salt, being that light, being that example, we be that example so people maybe will ask us about the gospel. We're ready to give an answer to the gospel. If you know your Bible, you're ready to give that answer. But if you don't come to class, you know, how are you ready to answer some of the questions that you've got? I think I can speak. I know for myself, and I think I know Brother Robert well enough to know him too. And almost every teacher in here that we assemble for class, and you've got a question that you've been looking all week and you can't answer and you haven't been able to figure out yet, I would rather answer the question that you have that's been bothering you for a week. I'd rather answer that question than what we're going to talk about in the book. Because I'd rather help you right here and right now than talk about which our class was talking about this morning, which was gossip, which I'm not taking anything away from gossip. But if you've got a question, you've got a problem, let me answer your question. Let me answer your problem now. Don't come to this building and have a question about the Word of God and leave here with the same question about the Word of God when there's 140 people in here and surely out of one of us will know the answer. There's no reason not to do it. And so when you have a question, you say, well, you know, I can't figure out this problem. But every week, your ox ends up in a ditch. How are you ever going to get your problem answered? What about the eunuch? He said, how can I know unless what? Some man guides me. And every week, we come together. Every Sunday morning, we come together at 10 o'clock with guides to help guide you through. At 10:55, we start our worship service to help edify one another, help to build one another up, to help equip again you for the work of the ministry. And Sunday night, we'll come back again and we'll do the same thing all over again, equipping for the ministry, participating in the worship service. And on Wednesday night, we'll have another Bible study at 7 p.m. and we will again look and study and answer the questions and the problems that you've got. Too often, we're not ready to give a defense or give an answer because we didn't build a fence and we didn't fill the ditch up, and we keep driving that ox into the ditch. Have you been the salt and light that people are drawn towards? Are you equipped this morning? Do you feel like you're equipped and you're ready to leave here to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ? To tell them the good news? Do you wear the whole armor of God? From your head down to your feet. Having everything in between readily protected and ready to defend and ready to attack. Those fables and those ear-tickling things. And attack it with the truth. Now, are you taking advantage of every opportunity to make yourself ready to evangelize? This morning we haven't talked very much about becoming a Christian per se. But perhaps you've been contemplating it and you've been thinking about it for a really long time. Perhaps you've got a lot of questions about it that you want answered. Do not leave here this morning without asking your question. Do not leave here this morning without having whatever it is that is a sin in your life resolved, made right, and forgiven in the eyes of God. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.